All right, can everybody see me on the slide?
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
All right, okay. So, all right, so welcome to the first Tone Up Your Chinese Pinyin. Now, I'm doing all this under a new brand called Mandarin Savvy Meetup. These are language and cultural experiences that have a focus towards business. This is the agenda. Participation is going to start right away. So I want everybody to keep their mics unmuted. All right. And curiosity is one of the keys to communicating across cultural differences. All right. So I wanted you to think about all of your experiences with Chinese celebrations, and particularly Chinese New Year's, which just finished. I know that, Angela, you guys had a huge Chinese New Year's event. If you ever attend a Chinese New Year's event in China or in Chinatown, you know that there's a lot of things that make these celebrations uniquely Chinese. So I want to hear what other Chinese events or celebrations are similar to Chinese New Year's and what makes them similar. All right, Angela, you have any ideas?
Opening a new business, funerals.
Exactly. Opening a new business. Every time Chinese people open up a new business, they put off fireworks and they launch the new business. When people get married, that's an event where people want to celebrate, very similar to Chinese New Year's. And we're going to talk about that. So what we're going to do today is we're going to warm up with two Chinese phrases. Now, one of these you guys know very well. This is where everybody participates. So for people who speak pretty good Chinese, this might be too easy, but we want to try to figure out what is the cultural context of what we're doing. All right, so I want everybody to pronounce this first word, and it's pronounced 热 in the fourth tone. Can everybody say it once?
热.
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 Is it the same 热 as hot?
Exactly. It means hot. It means hot. It means to heat up. All right. So maybe with the first word, you can guess what the second word is. Let's.
Oh, 热 now. Of course.
No. All right. So everybody pronounce the second word. No.
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 All right. So what does the second word by itself mean? How's it translated?
It's like chaotic, busy, lot going on.
Exactly. It's noisy. It's a commotion. So you combine hot and to heat up with noisy and commotion, and 热, na, means bustling with noise and excitement. So culturally, this is the atmosphere Chinese people crave for any celebration, whether it's the launch of a new business, it's Chinese New Year's, it's a wedding. This is the type of atmosphere that Chinese people crave. So if you are cooperating with Chinese people, you run a business where you have Chinese employees, you want to make sure you always remember to create some 热, na in your activities, your team building activities, or whatever you think you need. All right, this one is pretty simple. I think everybody knows this. I hear you guys use it all the time. Pronounce this word. One, two, three.
家.
Yeah. Mr. Toothman. 家.
家.
Yeah. And 家 means to add. Okay? Very simple. And everybody knows what the second word is going to be. It's 有.
有.
All right. So this is the word that you guys use all the time. 加油. Yo just means oil. It means that you're cheering and encouraging success. All right. And it's a common Chinese mantra expression that Chinese people use amongst friends. So once your relationship with someone in China starts to deepen and the Guanxi starts to deepen, then this is something that you can use. 加油, before almost anything they're getting ready to engage in. 热闹 is the atmosphere that you want to create if you're a leader or you're a business owner or you're leading a small team. Even if you're just a manager and you're leading a small team, you want to try to create that atmosphere because that is what energizes Chinese people and gets them to actually be more enthusiastic Mr. Stancliffe, 欢迎, what does that mean?
Translated.
It means welcome. All right. So in English, when somebody says welcome, what does that mean? So what I want to illustrate is when a Chinese person says 欢迎 and a Western person says welcome, it actually may mean something different. All right. And what happens is one side is saying 那不是我的意思, that's not what I meant, and the other side is saying 但是我的意思是. So this is one of the most common situations in China, not only between foreigners and Chinese people, but even amongst Chinese people. All right, and let me put it into context. When a Chinese person says 欢迎, they actually, this is what they feel. Now, they may translate it as welcome, or they actually even may say it in English as welcome. But what they feel is, you've now been granted access to join us. Okay, Chinese people are very Guanxi-centric. So if you're coming to a party that I didn't invite you to, you must have been invited by somebody that I know very well. And I would say, 欢迎, because you're connected with Mr. Toothman, then you've been granted access to join us. When we say welcome in the English context, we're actually saying we're happy to be hosting you here today as our guest. So you can see when we translate 欢迎 back and forth between English and Chinese, it actually makes no sense, because when people say it in Chinese, it doesn't mean what they say in English. And what that basically means is you're speaking, but you're not listening. We're talking to each other, but we're not talking about the same thing. And the outcome of all of this is a circular conversation. So this is the genesis of a circular conversation, the translations. So Michael, you probably have, Toothman, you probably have an advantage communicating because you don't speak Chinese. You don't have to translate your meaning to Chinese and try to say it. You can just say it in your native language, and then your counterparts will have to try to figure out what do you mean. That probably actually reduces the likelihood of misunderstanding, as opposed to I try to translate what I want to say in English to Chinese, but I'm thinking we're happy to be hosting you here today, but they're thinking, have I been granted access to join you? All right. So this is just an illustration of some of the pitfalls of language versus culture when you're doing business in China. Every time you meet with someone new in China under any circumstance, it is an opportunity to do a self-introduction. It could be formal, it could be personal, like a one-on-one meeting. It could be broadcast, like an event. Like if I introduced myself before this event, it would be a broadcast. It could be ceremonial to kick off a new business. I've been hired as a new manager. It could be reintroductions because I've been promoted and now I need to be reintroduced as now the vice president. There are many things that all could be categorized as an opportunity to give a self-introduction. So situational awareness, which we talk a lot about in the book, is something that we really need to pay attention to. All right, so now let's get into translations again to see how everybody's Chinese is. So during self-introductions, there are ways to measure how well you are performing. And these are criteria that will help you enhance your self-introductions under any circumstances. One is you want to demonstrate relevant credentials because Chinese people care about that. Mr. Toothman is a professor. That is very important because Chinese people care about what it means to be a professor. All right. So I don't know if Wayne, if you're on the call, if you want to chime in, or Angela, how would you translate credentials in Chinese?
有趣.
有趣. Yeah, that's good. 有趣 is good. That's a good one.
Oh, 你的老家.
Exactly. 老家. All right. And finally, details about your status, marriage and family. This is what all Chinese people actually want to know about, other than how much money you make. So that is just something. And so all of this is the scorecard of things that you want to try to incorporate into your self-introductions. You want to be as personal as possible. You want to help your Chinese counterparts discover connections that can create opportunities to deepen guanxi. All right. So this is the next part of this. We're going to keep this whole event under an hour. So what are we experiencing psychologically when communicating across cultural differences? Then you're less likely to be frustrated by their behavior, because now it becomes kind of like a game. That's why we say playing the China game inside the Chinese arena. Reimagine everything as a game, and some of the things that they do are just tactics that they use, both consciously and subconsciously. And then, of course, in our own psychology, what are our negative effects and how do we counteract those negative effects? 心理打击. How does it affect me psychologically when I don't believe my counterpart in China is being truthful? Okay. Truth is a very relative versus literal thing, but I may be affected psychologically if I start to feel, well, my counterpart is not telling the truth, where truth in China is relative. So all of this leads to different things that can represent negative effects. It could be 坏处. It could be 副作用. It could be the circular conversation, 恶性循环, or for short, when the conversation 恶化. All right. And this is the next section, is everything. So everybody here has a copy of the Chinese Honeymoon Period. The 10 chapters of the Chinese Honeymoon Period are in this diagram or in this infographic. All right. And what you can see is at the center of this is basically art of war. And these are the subconscious tactical behaviors that Chinese people will employ or exhibit when you're communicating with them. All right. And in order to overcome that, in order to play that game and come out ways to counteract those negative effects and achieve the things that you want, the first thing you have to do is you have to make a mindset adjustment, which means you have to be open, flexible, and non-judgmental. Now, time for translation time. 考你的中文. What is the Chinese translation for mindset? I just chose to use 思维 as the mindset. And then the attitude, which is affected by your mindset, is the 心态. But the key is the attitude that you want to have when you approach your communications, negotiations, and collaboration with Chinese people is you want to embrace uncertainty and ambiguity. This is one of the hardest things for most Westerners to do, because as a Westerner, we want concrete answers. We want specifics. We want certainty. We don't really know how to behave in an environment where things are very ambiguous. And you hear a lot of about this in geopolitics. All right. So the things that we can control, and you can see they're at the bottom of this infographic. So the 10 chapters of the Chinese honeymoon period are helping you make your mindset adjustment, attitude adjustment, and ultimately how you can adjust your approach. All right. Approach is 方法. All right. And this is why I was telling Mr. Toothman, knowing how to speak Chinese doesn't mean you know what to say in Chinese. Does anybody want to take a shot at translating this into Chinese? Yeah, that's pretty good. All right. So again, there's no right or wrong. I would have said this. 会说中文不代表 你会和中国人沟通. All right. So again, there's infinite number of ways to translate these, and we just want to try to see, kind of practice our translations and understand that the literal translations often don't convey the meanings that we really want to convey. And how do we get past that? All right.